Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree. And back on the line with me today is Natalie Sabille. She was on last week's show talking about her baking and her journey and her experience. If you did not have a chance to listen to that, you may go to the website, krbs.org, pull up the show Je Savais Pas and the date, 8/18/2020, and you should be able to pull it up and listen to it and kind of get all she shared about baking. So today she's on the line to talk about her sewing and cosplay. So thank you, Natalie, for calling in again and sharing, sewing and you have to explain what cosplay is because I know I've heard about it, but I can't recall what it is. So
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now, I love it. You know, when an artist has two different expressions, we've often talked about the fact that, you know, a farmer will have a crop that they'll alternate in the field to grow so that, you know, they kind of help each other out. So I've had artists come in and say, well, I did this and then I realized I was kind of getting burnt out. So I went to this and started this, and then I realized that that helped the other one, and then this one helped the other one. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of, you know, what nature does. And we lose a lot when we kind of get disconnected from nature. But anyway, so, and that's interesting that you sew, because the baking and sewing were two of the things that my my grandmothers helped me, like mentored me in doing. Yeah. So I've done some things. Anyway, so that's kind of fun. So, Was your journey into sewing, was that kind of the same as with baking? You watched somebody sew and then kind of was like, well, I want to be involved, or did they invite you in?
A little bit. My grandfather that I talked about last week that got me into baking, his wife, my grandmother, she was the first person I recall that kind of taught me anything about sewing. I remember being pretty small, and she taught me how to sew a button. Mm-hmm. And I know she sewed, you know, when she was a lot younger, and she would, you know, make clothes for younger cousins or nieces or whatever. And, mm-hmm. you know, she would always tell me, oh, you know, I wish you would have seen such and such a dress that I made because it was just beautiful. But she had a room full of boxes of leftover fabrics or fabrics she hadn't used or mm-hmm. projects she had started or, you know, different buttons and ribbons and rickrack and all that stuff. And it was kind of a wonder to me, you know, all these pretty things. And she taught me to make, I don't know, I think maybe I made like a doll's dress or something. Uh-huh. And I remember being like in middle school, maybe, but I don't remember much between that and then, and when I was in high school, I might have been 16 or 17, she actually taught me how to sew from a pattern for the first time. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of when I really started sewing a lot.
Sweet. So what was the first pattern that she used with you?
Was it a dress that I picked out.
Okay, so you picked it out.
Yeah. I'm sure my mom took me to the fabric store to pick up fabric or whatever. It was a dress, kind of like a drop-waist dress that had these buttons on the side, mm-hmm. and I picked out this like purple floral cotton fabric, and I remember being so frustrated at first. She was trying to show me how to thread a bobbin, and I just remember crying because I couldn't get it. To be fair, I think her machine was kind of broken, so uh-huh. I was having a hard time. But
yeah, there's all kinds of things with sewing machines, and I remember, you know, trying to learn how to thread, you know, put the thread through the needle and use the pedal and lay out the pattern. And yeah, so have you stuck with dresses, or you have branched out into other things, or what?
You know, I've never done any kind of pants or shorts or anything like that. I've done skirts and mostly dresses. Mm-hmm. And then I've done a lot of costumes. I started getting into costumes when I was doing theater in high school because I started making kind of my own costumes for things.
Yeah, fun. So with the skirts, were they elastic waistband or zipper or button, or they varied depending upon what the fabric was?
Yeah, it just depends. I remember I made myself just a couple, you know, circle skirts or whatever with zip up circle skirts with regular waistbands.
Mm-hmm.
Just like going, thinking back on the projects that I did at the beginning, it's kind of hard to remember.
I know.
I've done so much since then, you know.
So, and what were some of the challenges? I mean, were there certain things that you didn't really want to do? Or, I know putting elastic through a waistband for some is not considered fun, and others are like, oh, I love that.
That doesn't bother me. I still, to this day, immensely dislike zippers.
Mm-hmm.
They're very handy, but I don't enjoy installing them. I'm not very patient with them.
Yeah,
that's why I don't think I'll ever really make a lot of clothes that I wear in day to day life, because I'm not good with like the finished work and making everything pretty on the inside and details and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. So when you did the hems, did you hand sew them or did you machine sew them?
It depends. I've definitely done hemming by hand, and I remember, you know, my mom would always hem my school skirts by hand, but if I can get away with a machine hem, then I'll do a machine hem.
And then what is your process in picking fabric or deciding like what kind of fabric you're going to use for this pattern or this project?
It just depends on what kind of project I'm working on. If I am just working on something for myself or something I want to do, it'll be a combination of what I like aesthetically and what's the right type of fabric, what's the right weight for the project I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
If I am doing a costume for theater, then, you know, it's just about what appropriate for the piece. If I'm doing cosplay, if it's live action, I'll try to get something as close as I can to the character. If it's something animated, then you have a little more leeway interpreting what the right fabric is to use. But that's part of the fun, too, is kind of figuring out what to use.
Yeah. So explain to the listener what's cosplay.
Sure. So cosplay is essentially, some people, not everyone makes their own costumes. There are cosplayers who commission other people to make their costumes, but
mm-hmm.
Largely dressing up as a character from some franchise that you really like. It could be a book, it could be comic books, superheroes, anime, you know, movies, TV, video games, pretty much anything you can think of. And a lot of people will wear their costumes to, like, comic conventions or just do photo shoots and
mm-hmm.
then, like, put them up on Instagram and things.
Interesting. So what are some of the challenges in, I guess, maybe, excuse me, not mimicking, sort of trying to bring into the costume the detail that maybe you see in the picture and evoking the character and things like that?
It depends on, again, whether it's animated or live action. Because if it's animated, you know, there could be, like, a blue dress with red trim on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that's like a cartoon, then it can be really up to interpretation exactly what that red trim is going to be, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's going to be something you make yourself or it's your ribbon or it's your rig rack or whatever. If it's live action, then it becomes a fun game of scouring the internet, trying to find exactly what the costume designer used on the costume. And sometimes you get pretty close and sometimes you just kind of have to get as close as you can or make something yourself, and that can be fun.
So then are there patterns available for costumes, or do you have to find something that's pretty close and adapt it?
Again, it depends on the project, but there are, and also how much of a perfectionist you are, I guess, when it comes to detail, because there are lots of, like Simplicity and Butterick, and everyone has come up with if you look like in their Halloween section, they've got patterns for, you know, like character costumes, and mm-hmm. they've even come out with like a cosplay line of fabric and a couple of patterns. But I find with the commercial patterns that are available, they get like the gist of what the costume is. Like, people understand who you are, but it's never quite right. And mm-hmm. so I don't think, if I were to use one of those patterns, it'd definitely be something that I would adapt or change. There have been times where I just found myself making my own pattern.
Gotcha. So how does that work, making your own pattern? Do you start with, as I said earlier, like a pattern you already have and then you add to it or adapt it? Or do you actually start from scratch and just kind of make your
own? So I went to college for musical theater. And while we're there, you have to work on the other side. You have to either work on costumes or work in the scene shop or whatever. Mm-hmm. So since I already sewed, I spent a lot of my time working in the costume shop. And our costume designer also offered classes in costume building and costume design. And mm-hmm. so I took a couple of those classes, and we learned how to drape and how to make patterns from scratch. And one of our final projects was to like design something and then make the pattern for it and make it. So that's kind of where I picked that up.
Okay.
It's not something that I continue to do like every day after graduating. So some of it is a little bit lost on me, but mm-hmm. I can adapt existing patterns, and it takes me a while, but I can usually make one from scratch too, if I really have to.
Okay, cool. So you do kind of have regular sewing projects that you kind of keep connected to the sewing machine, and is that wearable clothes, or have you branched off into pillows and and other things that?
I don't think I've ever made like pillows or curtains or anything like that. Mostly. Everything I've sewn probably over the past 5 years has either been a costume for theater or cosplay.
Mm-hmm. So not anything for your own personal wear?
No, not really.
Okay. So with your sewing, I know you said, I forget who you said was the one who kind of sewed. Was it your grandmother?
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So did she like help you and mentor you and give you lessons, or you just kind of watched her and then kind of figured out what she was doing and sort of started to experiment on your own?
Well, we did that first pattern together. And then we did a second one, and, you know, I picked one that was a little more challenging, and, you know, she helped me, but I did more of it on my own. And then, by the third one, I think I was kind of just doing it on my own, and then if I had a question, I would go and ask her. And I think I've gone farther with sewing than she or I ever thought I would go when we started.
Yeah, interesting. So do you find that what you're learning in sewing kind of helps you boost your confidence for your baking, or when you're experimenting with baking, do you find that it kind of makes you bolder in sewing?
I think, you know, whether it's one art form that's totally different from another, if you kind of take risks and push boundaries a little bit and, you know, it works out for you, it might encourage you to go outside of your comfort zone a little bit in another area.
Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and on the line with me is Natalie Sabiel. And last week's episode, she was discussing her baking, what she learned in her journey. In this week's episode, she's talking about her sewing and musical theater and cosplay. And so thank you again, Natalie, for calling in and discussing and your things you've learned and sharing and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, thank you, Esther.
So when What was your entry point to cosplay and musical theater?
Oh, I mean, well, musical theater, when I was really tiny, my mom would, you know, we grew up on Disney musicals and Mary Poppins and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so much more theater, you know, in this area now than there was when I was growing up.
Yeah.
But basically, like, when I was really small, I didn't like the concept that, you know, you would watch a musical on, you know, a movie or whatever, and that there are people that actually did that, you know, like, live in front of you is not something that I was really familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
When I was, I don't know, 9, 10, I was in the UL Children's Chorus, and their opera department was doing Hansel and Gretel, and there were gingerbread children at the end, and we got to audition to be
Fun.
In the opera. And so that was like my first experience with being on stage. And then my mom worked with a woman whose son was directing Annie at Theopolis's Little Theater
mm-hmm.
when I was 11. So that was my first musical, and the obsession just kind of grew from there.
Yeah, fun, sweet. So then cosplay, I know we kind of talked about it and you sort of explained
yeah.
it. So that's like you, I still I'm like trying to wrap my head around like
yeah.
how that term came about and what it actually means.
So for me, I've always been kind of like creative minded, and growing up, you know, when you're, of course, you know, you're a little girl and you're watching princess movies and you're thinking, oh, I want that dress.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, I want to, like, be this princess. I guess that kind of childlike spirit never left me, like, the desire to want to play dress up. So I guess my, both my love of, like, you know, costumes I've seen on stage and, you know, from movies kind of, like, fed off of my desire to want to learn to sew so that I can make those things for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what it kind of turned into. So once I learned how to sew, then I could make myself all the princess dresses I wanted, you know.
So it's basically just kind of finding a character you like and dressing up and pretending you're that character. Is that kind of what
yeah.
you're saying?
And, you know, you don't have to, it doesn't have to be a character that you think you look like or whatever. There are people who cosplay professionally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have such a following that people are actually, like patrons will, like, you know, like, pay just to, like, you know, have access to, you know, looking at projects they're working on, or they'll go to, you know, Comic-Con conventions and people will, like, you know, take pictures with them and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they have a really big following. So it can be, like, to that level. And I find people are really successful when they look like the most like the character, especially with live action things. Like if someone were to dress up as someone from, say, Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
like you get a lot of attention, like the more that you look like that character. But that's not what it's about. You know, it's not necessary. But.
Yeah. So basically it's comic book, movie, cartoon characters.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your favorite character? Like, who have you sort of gone dressed up as?
Yeah, I'm not really into anime or video games or anything like that. I do a lot of Disney. So that is really fun. Disney, and then I do some Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
My latest project has been, I don't know if you're familiar with the TV show Westworld.
Yes. Don't know that I watched it, but I know I'm familiar with the title.
Okay. It's really good. You should check it out. But my most recent project was creating a Dolores costume. Dolores is like the main character of Westworld.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the most challenging and rewarding projects that I've worked on.
So how was it challenging? Because
of the
detail
So Westworld is... you know, for someone who's listening who may not be familiar, it is a TV show that's set in the future in which there's a theme park that is created to look like the Wild West in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who inhabit this world who aren't guests coming to the theme park are actually robots that are so human-like, they're, like, indistinguishable from real humans. So the costume is historical in nature.
Uh-huh.
So when I started looking at, looking for patterns, because there are companies that specialize in making historically accurate patterns, I couldn't quite find anything that was just right. So then it became about, well, let me find a pattern that I have to adapt. And so I basically had to almost make the pattern from scratch. And
mm-hmm.
it's a very heavily detailed costume. You know, there are certain things that you have to get just right, like the neckline. The fabric is really tricky. You know, the trims on it, you know, the buttons and the different things like that. There are three different kinds of trim on the neckline, and I pretty much had to make everything from scratch. All the fabric and everything I had to dye, and I did so many dye tests and dyed things several times.
Wow.
I was very, very involved.
Yeah. It's always interesting to hear, you know, someone describe how they got inspired to embark on a project and then what they ended up having to do and what they've learned. But as you said earlier, sometimes, you know, it might be challenging, but it's also rewarding when you finish it up and go, wow, you know, I did this. And it's something, you know, a lot of my guests have said, they set a goal and they accomplish it, and it kind of fosters the desire to set a different one.
Yeah.
So it is hot and humid. You know, we are in August and going into September. And so sewing is kind of a fun, creative expression that's really nice right now because it's inside activity. So somebody, just as you kind of encouraged somebody on last week's episode to just sort of find like a recipe or something that they kind of was – like, yeah, I want to try that, and then just do it. What would you suggest for somebody who kind of is in the same position with sewing? Like, they've always been fascinated with it, but they're not quite sure what to do first, since it's such a wide variety of or spectrum of things, projects that get involved in sewing.
I would say if you don't have a sewing machine, there are projects you can do by hand. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's lots of like textile-based projects that you can do. Pinterest is a great resource. YouTube is also a fabulous resource. You can find, of course, there are like complicated patterns that you can buy and take home, but there are also, like, you know, if you want to make a cape or something or whatever, you can look it up, and there are people who have, like, who will show you how you can just draw out your own pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a sewing machine, and you're not sure where to start, again, like, there are, you know, every machine is different, but YouTube is a great resource, and you can probably find a video of someone showing you how to thread your exact sewing machine. And then once you kind of get the hang of sewing a straight line, you know, I would say find just a project that maybe, like, you know, you really need a new pillowcase or whatever, or something simple, or
mm-hmm.
you want to make a skirt. Just start with something small and kind of build from there.
Yeah, sweet. So do you post pictures of like your sewing projects and your costumes and things? Have you posted pictures of those?
I do. I have a specific Instagram for it, actually.
Okay, so share that with the listeners. So it's one of the challenges of radio. It's all verbal and description, but somebody might go, well, it kind of sounds interesting. I'd love to see, you know, what she's describing. So share social media, Instagram, website info for somebody who wants to see pictures or maybe wants to contact you with some follow-up questions that we didn't have an opportunity to get to today.
Yeah. If you want to check out some of the things I've worked on Instagram, it is at NatCatCosplays. So that's NatCatCosplays, NatCat Cosplays.
Mm-hmm.
So you can look at pictures of stuff I've worked on. If you want to message me any questions about anything, if you have questions about sewing yourself, I'd be more than happy to answer your questions.
Great. So then they can do that through your That's your Instagram, you said?
Yes.
Okay. So do you have any current projects you're looking towards or getting ready to do or finishing up?
After my Westworld project, I just needed a breather. So mm-hmm. that's definitely something that I want to the photo shoot is also what I really look forward to after I finish a project. So I'm working on lining up someone to photograph that. But I totally switched gears after I finished that project and I redecorated my room, which is a whole other thing. But I'm really just waiting to find something that I get really excited about, because that's when I feel really motivated, is when I find a project I'm really excited about. So I don't know. It's been a while since I did a Star Wars project. So maybe something in that area, but sweet. I haven't quite decided what I'm going to do yet. I've got lots of projects that I've gotten fabric for and started and then like gotten frustrated and not finished. So maybe I'll go back to something that I haven't finished yet.
So do you have a designated spot in your like room in your house for the sewing machine and all the patterns and material and things that go with it?
The fabric, it used to be kind of just like everywhere in bags or whatever, but I had some time last year and I finally got I went to the dollar store and picked up a bunch of plastic bins and labeled it. So like I have a box for, you know, the cotton prints and a box for the velvets and, you know, a box for hooks and eyes and buttons and stuff like that. So everything's kind of organized and it's in the storage area, so I can find it a bit more easily.
Yeah, that always helps, you know, when you're getting ready to do a project, if your stuff is organized and you have, you know, you're able to go to each bin and say, I need this and this and this and this and this and this and this.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, there's always going to be some aspect of things being in a little bit of disarray, but, mm-hmm. You know, I never find things in my mess because it's my mess. You know what I mean?
Right. Gotcha. Well, Natalie, we appreciate you phoning in today and sharing your journey with sewing and cosplay and your inspiration and your process. And you've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRVS.org. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and have a wonderful afternoon.
Be sure to tune in to Encore Saturdays at 7 a.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. for great Cajun music with me, your host, Megan Constantin.
For a delightful listening experience on Friday afternoons, why not tune in to Freetown Radio at 3? It'll cure what ails you. And it's only on KRVS 88.7 FM and KRVS.org on the web. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on and listen to the music in the air.
KRVS 88.7 FM.